Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB in Windsor, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have in studio, yes, live, the owners and operators of Carmichael Salon and Color Bar, Mick Aguilera and Russell Thompson. Yeah. Hello, you two.
Hello. It's so fun to be here.
Good evening, you both.
And the special thing about these two wonderful men you will find out about is that they are not just business partners. They are life partners.
Yes, 20 years.
Wow.
Love it.
You know, I'm sure we just caught everybody's ear who's listening in. So before we get to your story, however, and find out how you guys work together and live together and love together and negotiate the world, we do have to break for our wonderful engineer and Outbeat member, Greg Moralia, for news and events. So we'll be back in just a bit.
Say, tell it like it is.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, August 5th, 2012. On Friday this week, kiss-ins were held at Chick-fil-A locations across the country. The Georgia-based fast food company became a lightning rod for the nation's debate over marriage equality and free speech after Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy said that by allowing marriage equality, the United States was, quote, inviting God's judgment on our nation, end quote. Here's the Advocate's Jim Morrison with more on this topic.
If you haven't already noticed, you're going to be hearing a lot about the so-called fight for religious freedom by right-wing Christians, about how homosexual activists, hi, that's me, are now out to demonize and punish people for their religious views. You know what? It's a great big lie. And the media has taken the bait and is now megaphoning that false message. Most recently, it's how the right wing and people like Mike Huckabee have jumped on the whole Chick-fil-A issue and successfully distracted everyone from the real issue. How insanely out of the mainstream and destructive every single one of the groups that Chick-fil-A has sent millions of dollars to actually are. It's not about freedom of religion or freedom to say what you want. Everybody has that freedom. It's up to us now to refocus this discussion. The forces of hate and intolerance know that when presented with the facts of what these groups really stand for and really do, like the criminalization of homosexual acts, like anyone who supports marriage equality has a twisted mind, and that gay people should actually be cured from being gay. Most Americans, when they hear these things, after they stop laughing the people out of the room, are repulsed. But that's not the message we're hearing. Instead, it's all couched in this battle for religious freedom. And you know what? No one seems to be making the case about all the religions and religious people who support marriage equality. What about their religious freedom? The sick reality is these groups, verifiable hate groups, harm people. It's not about their religious freedom. The things they do drive LGBT Americans and young LGBT Americans to things like self-loathing and, yeah, suicide. They are actively seeking to take away rights from people, to make their lives worse. So many LGBT writers and their allies have been writing about this, writing about refocusing this discussion to back where it belongs. And it behooves all of us to take that advice. We can't let them hijack this debate. It's just not all Chick-fil-A. This is their big play right now. They know they're in a corner. Their base is dwindling, and more young conservatives just aren't on board with their hate. So like a rabid animal, they are lashing out, grasping at whatever weapons are at hand and are working. It's up to us to calmly and forcefully reiterate that this just isn't about religious freedom or family values or free speech or the so-called culture wars. This is about real, specific naming names groups. Groups like Chick-fil-A gave money to, like the Family Research Council and Exodus International and the National Organization of Marriage. Groups literally trying to destroy people's lives.
Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, August 7th, Spectrum will host the LGBT Older Adults Discussion Group from 10 a.m. to noon at the Queen of the Valley Community Outreach Center in Napa. And also on Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. On Wednesday, August 8th at 6 p.m., the Marin Women Seeking Women group will meet at Jason's Restaurant, 300 Drake's Landing Road in Greenbrae. And on Thursday, August 9th at 7 p.m., the Men for Men support group will meet at the Marin AIDS Project, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. Also on Thursday at 7:30 p.m., PFLAG will meet at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 240 Tiburon Boulevard in Mill Valley. And on Friday, August 10th at 4 p.m., face-to-face, Sonoma County AIDS Network will hold its Positive Connection Group, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And on Saturday, August 11th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Food for Thought, the Sonoma County AIDS Food Drive will happen at the Guerneville Safeway and Lucky's on Bicentennial in Santa Rosa. And finally, on Saturday, the Russian River Sisters Divas of Summer Bingo will take place at Odd Fellows Hall in Guerneville. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof on KRCB Outbeat Radio. And I'm here with Diana, my co-host. This is Sheridan. And we are in studio with our special guests tonight, Mick Aguilera and Russell Thompson. And Mick, you and I met at a KRCB auction.
Yes, one of the many fabulous live auctions here. I know there's another one coming up in October.
Mm-hmm.
But it was probably about 7 years ago, Russell and I, we were living in Guerneville, little itty-bitty Guerneville. And I came in and met Mariah, and it was a whole different staff then. But it was a really great fit. I started auctioneering and then made the big move, like you should be doing soon, to hosting. It's a fun night of, well, 2 weekends of live television.
Well, I remember when I did this, the pledge, when was it, like 3 or 4 months ago?
Right.
I was nervous. I've never done it before. You know, I'm going to get to be on TV for, you know, maybe 30, maybe 10 seconds before they go into all the items. And you made me feel so welcome. You were calling me by my name. You talked about my purple hair. You just made everything fun and light. And I just liked you immediately. And then we started talking and I found out you were...
Right. My secret was out.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't tell many people. But of course, now we're telling the world, and I'm proud.
I mean, really? You don't tell many people? Or
I really don't.
Oh.
No, that closet door kind of goes open and comes closed.
Oh.
Because for me, you know, I still see a lot of discrimination, and I still hear a lot of people talk badly about, you know, the mm-hmm. gays in the media. And so for me, I don't ever want to make it an issue. I'll listen to what people have to say and I'll give my input, but no, it's, I have a lot of gay friends, and with Russell and I now at the salon, our clients who slowly are learning that him and I are yes, indeed a couple. And then of course here, how long we've been together and it becomes even like a big family.
So since you mentioned the salon,
yes.
Hey, may as well jump right into that so we can hear Russell's voice as well over there.
Oh, hello. Good evening, everyone out there.
Yeah. So tell us how it came about that you were your business partners.
Well, it was a dream of mine to open this salon. I'd had a salon many years ago, and I was just not mature enough to be able to really run it and do it the way I wanted to. And after a long time period and a lot of training and experience in a lot of different areas, I had decided that there was a business that I wanted to create, which had not just to do with doing women's hair and taking care of our clients, but the type of environment, the supporting our teammates and supporting the growth and well-being of the people that we work for and creating an environment that's really special for clients. To come and feel nurtured and taken care of, to get really amazing service, but feel taken care of. And I wanted to do that, and I didn't really want to do that without some support on the business end, because it's a lot of work to try to run the creative end and the business end together. And so I wasn't going to do it unless Mick would do it with me, and he agreed that he would. And so that is one of our recipe ingredients for a great relationship is support each other in our dreams. And so we've both done that over the years, supported each other in different things that we wanted to do. And this was his his turn for me.
Oh.
And I was at Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael for 12 years in their puppy raising department. And I had been talking with Russell about his dream since we had been together. And so the timing was just right. He opened the salon. I waited probably about another year, and then I took over full time. So now I'm the business end of things, and then Russell is the creative part of the world there.
Did you have to learn that, Mick?
No, I've had so much retail experience in my life, and at Guide Dogs, I did a lot with just employee relations, a little bit of HR, things like that. So it's been a lot of learn by doing, but with my people skills and my ability to be flexible and listen has really helped.
How long has the business been going on?
We are celebrating our fourth year this month.
Oh, well, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
And you have some good news around your 4 year. You have, you're known as...
Oh, we just got voted by by the
of
voters of the Bay Guardian again.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row, best of the Bay. So we're really very happy with that. But we couldn't have done it without our clients, so we thank them so much.
Yeah, we got best of the Bay Salon and also best of the Bay a hairdresser, Rebecca Nummer, one of our stylists, got best hairdresser. So very exciting.
That is totally exciting for only being 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, how do people find out about you?
It's mostly word of mouth, to be honest with you. You know, it's the whole old commercial. She told two friends and she told two friends. And that's mostly how we built it. Because we're on the fifth floor. Mm-hmm. And so we don't get any walk-in traffic. So it is all from word of mouth.
Wow. And so you're there together all day?
Yes, we are.
Wow. And then you go home together?
Yes.
No. I mean, like Monday through Saturday, or you have
Tuesday,
a day off?
Tuesday through Saturday, yes. So, yes. Yeah, it's 24/7.
Well, how is that? Where I'm very curious, and I'm sure our listeners are too.
Well, and it's funny because I've even heard from some of our stylists that have said, you know, we would never know you're a couple because you don't touch. You don't really acknowledge each other other than business. And it is true because I'm behind the desk with the phones with Steve and my assistant, and we're working hard, and Russell's over there doing his world. So for me, you know, there's no pinching or no, you know, kisses in the back room, anything. We're just so, so busy. But, you know, we have actually had to make an agreement recently that once we leave the door, we cannot talk about the salon. Everything's done. We wake up at, you know, 6 in the morning. Sometimes we'd have a conversation about a certain something we need to talk about, and I'm half asleep.
Well, I'd wake up at 6 in the morning and have a conversation.
Oh, that's true.
And that's how it went. And he'd nod and act like he was hearing me, but still asleep.
You would discover during the day that he didn't hear you.
He didn't hear me. So, yeah, we've really tried. So now I wake up at 6 in the morning, get on my phone, and start emailing.
And emailing me.
So he gets a lot of emails in the morning. When he arrives from me.
It works out really great that way because, you know, between email and texting, we keep track of everything like that. But, yeah, we have had to really have a policy of no conversations or as little as possible, which leads to some really quiet moments sometimes because we'll be sitting there and, you know, we'll talk about family, of course, but it's been fun.
Well, that is interesting because in a couple of people who don't work together, I guess the majority of their conversation is, well, how was your day? Well, how was your day? And,
right.
You know, the challenges and you both share about. But now you don't have to really have those conversations because you already know what the challenges are.
Well, we'll ask, you know, like we'll say, well, who was your favorite client today?
Oh.
Who was your favorite client today? And so we do make it fun and we laugh a lot. And again, part of, I think, a success in our relationship is we laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I try hard to make him laugh, and I succeed usually, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he, of course, makes me laugh too. So you got to laugh a lot.
Oh, I agree. Totally. Laughing's a lot. Yeah. Laughing, we laugh a lot too.
We love to laugh. Yeah.
Hey, Greg, you and Tony, do you guys laugh a lot?
Yeah, actually, we do. We really do. You know,
yep.
I think you have to have a good time with each other.
Yeah. Otherwise, it gets darn boring and serious.
Real boring,
and
yes.
Exactly.
Tense.
So was it easy between the two of you to come to that agreement to slow down the conversation a little bit?
No, yes, because I saw that it was just not going anywhere, you know, good. It was really
Russell,
easy.
Russell, for
agreement.
You, it
oh,
seems like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. We're actually, you know, it's a really amazing, even from the very beginning, we're generally on the same page with things. So it's really, We've been very fortunate that way, that we don't really have too much in the way of difficult conversations, mm-hmm. because it's generally if one of us is feeling it, the other is. And so it's just a real, oh, yeah, I was thinking that too. So let's go with that. Mm-hmm. We've been very fortunate with that.
And amazing how much you finish each other's sentences and thinking like telepathic. And because I know my mom and dad do the same thing. And it's like, wow, I'm doing that too.
Well, speaking of family, I'm very curious, and I'm sure people listening to the show I bet they're curious too, about your own personal journeys and when you discovered you were gay and how you came out. And I'd really like to ask you about that, if you wouldn't mind sharing, in your own life. You know, when did you know you were gay, Russell?
Wow, I look back, I realize it was like first grade, and I was totally in love with my first grade teacher, Mr. Romero, who Mick just so happens to look like.
Oh!
This is not your first time hearing this, I hope.
No.
But when I first came to the real realization, I was about 15 years old, and and it was important for me to come out to my family at that point, whatever the outcome was. With that, because I'm just a bad liar, and my mom was always very involved with my friends, so it would just have been real unusual. All of a sudden, there were strange men calling that she didn't know, and I didn't want that to be the case. And I was very close with my mother, and she was very supportive in my teen years. Sometimes she was a teenager too with me, but it was a lot of fun, and so I wanted to be very truthful, and so that was how it all began.
What about school and friends? And
you know, I was very fortunate, because I went to a high school that was pretty much, I wouldn't say like super open, but not really very concerned with my sexuality. And I was very open in school. And I had a boyfriend in high school, not in my high school. He went to another high school in the area. But there just wasn't really that much concern there were a couple of gay friends I had in high school too. There just wasn't really much concern about it. So it wasn't too much of an issue.
That's nice to hear. Yeah. Any other family that you have besides your mom?
Yes, well, my mom passed away about 3 years ago, but my father, and I have a sister and two brothers.
And everybody was good?
Everybody's doing okay. I have a born-again sister, and she tries to save me every once in a while, and I just love her for it. So we have an agreement. I tell her it's between me and Jesus. And that really works, because, you know, that's it. It really is. It's between me and Jesus, and she can just relax. It'll be okay.
I'm curious about the first grader, though. Let's go back a little bit. We rushed to 15, age 15, real quickly. I'm just curious, what did you do with all those feelings? I mean, you had a crush on your teacher, Mr. Romero?
Romero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I did with them. I was, you know, I was young, so you don't recognize that as a crush. Mm-hmm. You know, you just are very admirable. And actually, in that same school, the music teacher was definitely gay, I look back now. And so I knew that he was different, and I knew I had this, you know, interesting feeling about my first grade teacher, but you don't really, you know, you really don't have any words to put to it all. So I didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. But now I look back, I think that's what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Fifth, sixth, seventh grade, when girls and boys and all that pressure. I mean,
no, I had girlfriends. You know, I had girlfriends, but nothing serious. Mm-hmm.
And I was a late starter. I mean, I remember my first girlfriend, Laura Hardoyne, in third grade.
That's a name. I mean, that name sounds like did she get teased for that name?
You know, no, I don't think so. Wow. But I mean, I had girlfriends all through elementary school, junior high, high school, and it was my senior year of high school when I was involved more with theater, because I was a cross-country track, and I could never let my theater friends hang out with my track and field friends, because they all thought they were just all gay. or weird. And of course, the theater people thought they were just jocks and they were just all stupid. So, and and so here I was in this flamboyant singing group. We toured the state competing, and for a baccalaureate, we did a performance. And I remember being afraid to death because we had these bright pink and green costumes. And there I was performing in front of all my friends who had no idea, or half of my friends had no idea I even knew how to sing. And so that was kind of my coming out, because I had had my first contact with, you know, my first gay relationship was towards the end of my senior year. And I had, you know, again, and I had a couple of girlfriends, and the first person I really spoke with about, and she actually, I think I'd actually mentioned to me, thinking that I was having some problems or I was a little depressed, was my mom. And so I spoke with her about it, and she was very open to listen to about it and was very loving. And I was afraid to death to tell my father, because he's very, very, just, he was just a real macho guy. And of course she said, yeah, no, don't worry, you don't have to tell your father. And I had gone up to her bedroom at one point, and on her bedstand were about a dozen books on gay this and gay that and, you know, gay youth. And I thought, well, if he can't figure it out now, because there they are. So at that point, I realized that he knows. And so I had a talk with them. And I have an older brother who I was afraid to death to tell, and then two younger sisters. But through those years, and they basically knew, was what I really figured out. So, and we were all very loving, and we're all still very, very close with my brothers and sisters and my nieces and my nephew. And they all know, and they all love Russell. And again, the whole family dynamic between Russell's family and my family has been really, really important, that everybody love each other.
So Russell and Russell's family and your family, do they know each other? Do they spend time with one another, like family reunions or something like that?
No, that's okay. Not a good idea.
Oh. Uh-oh. Uh-huh.
No, bits and pieces of our families have spent time with each other. My little brother comes up and spends Christmas with his family. And, and they've been together in bits and pieces. My family is a lot to handle. They're a really spirited group, and mixed family is very mellow. So I don't know. It might be a little bit too much.
I'm curious, Mick. I'm curious to what you said to your mom. I mean, what did you say to her when she asked? Because you keep talking about it.
Right.
It.
So, well, again, I had had a girlfriend, and then I had had this somebody. He was like my best friend, and we had had this meeting, I guess you could call it, rendezvous. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm really having some questions about my sexuality. And I actually said the word, too, that I'm not really sure. I'm attracted to this my friend, and yet I have this girlfriend. And she was kind of like, well, you know, no, it's okay. You know, don't really worry about it. I mean, you know, you're young still. And she was just very kind of, you know, everything's okay. She didn't really tell me to, you know, go to one way or the other. She just kind of was just very like, okay, you know, it's going to be all right. Which, again, for me was such a relief that I knew that from that point on things were going to be easy, because I honestly didn't know if that was just maybe a little something I was going through, a phase, because I kept hearing about that. I remember my mother also had me talk with our pastor at our church at that point, which I was just afraid to death to talk to him. And that really didn't turn out very well, because I really didn't feel he listened to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I got more from listening to my mom. Mm. And from that point on, she's just been very open about everything. And she actually works with the American Baptist Association as for affirming churches. And she's been on the board.
Oh, that's terrific.
For these Baptists that are affirming for gays. I mean, across the country.
Fabulous.
And so she's really been very outspoken on gays and the church.
Wow.
And affirming, accepting.
Well, if you are just listening to our show or just tuned in, we are speaking with Mick Aguilera, who was just speaking, and his partner in life and business, Russell Thompson. And we are going to be taking a music break now. We're going to be listening to Gregory Douglass singing Adele's Set Fire to the Rain. Enjoy.
Live on my heart, and as it fell, you rose to claim it. It was dark, and it was over you. Until you kissed my lips and you saved me. My hands, they were strong, but my knees
so far too weak to stand in your arms without falling to your feet. But there's a side to you that I never knew. All the things you'd say that were never true, and the games you'd play, you would always win. But I'll set fire to the rain, washed upon as I touched your face. Well, it burned and I cried, cause I heard it screaming out your name, your name. When I lay with you, I could stay there. Close my eyes, feel you here forever. You and me together, nothing is better. Cause there's a side to you that I never knew. All the things you'd say that were never true. And the games you'd play, you would always win. But I set fire to the rain, washed upon as I touched your face. Well, it burned when I cried, cause I heard it screaming out your name, your name. I set fire to the rain, and out the ruins sent your flames. Well, it felt something dark, cause I knew that that was the last time, the last time. Sometimes I wake up by the dawn, that heart you caught must be waiting for you. Even I can't help myself from looking for you. I set fire to the rain, washed upon as I touched your face. Well, it burned and I cried, cause I heard it screaming out your name, your name. Well, I set fire to the rain and out the ruin. Cause I knew that was the last time, last time. Oh. And I set fire
into the rain. Welcome back to Living Proof on Outbeat Radio. Oh my gosh, Gregory Douglass has just taken my heart.
Sign me up.
That was amazing.
Beautiful. You can find him on Greg, our engineer, Greg Moralia, brought this music in and showed us the picture of Gregory Douglass online. And you should check him out. He's gorgeous and his voice is gorgeous. And I think I'm a fan already. Yeah. And of course, that song is one of my favorites. So, wow, what he did with it. Thank you.
Welcome.
So we are back in studio with Mick Aguilera and Russell Thompson from Carmichael Salon. And we were talking before the break about how each of you came out and how your families are very supportive of you. And we'd like to continue that questioning and ask you how you both met each other 20 years ago.
In the heart of San Francisco, right in the heart of the gay Castro, we were actually waiting for the bus. Right there, yes. At 19th and Castro Street.
And if you have dealt with Muni, you know that they aren't always on time. And in this one case, it was to our advantage.
Because we started talking. Of course, I was managing an athletic shoe store in the Haight at that point. Hoy's Sports is not there any longer. And Russell was working at a salon downtown. So for me, I was probably in my running clothes. Because even when we lived in South Toledo, I used to run from South Toledo to the store and back and forth every day. But
yeah, he used to run everywhere.
Everywhere. So we met and didn't really even... we exchanged names, I guess. It was really kind of odd how we continued,
Yeah, it wasn't a right away thing. We met, and I talked. We both sort of talked to everybody. I do more than
him.
Oh,
he talked to everyone.
He can see when the look's coming on my face because I'll look at somebody sitting on the bus and strike up a conversation. So we were just talking and sort of talked about where we worked, and then I got off the bus and didn't see him again. And a couple weeks later, I decided I needed some new running shoes.
Sorry, we had to laugh at that one.
Well, if you can't see his face, who's ever listening out there? He got this cute little smile on his face when he said that.
So I needed some new running shoes, but I actually wasn't sure he was gay. Because I always say, actually, mix just this side of straight. Because, you know, he likes the sports, and he's very, you know, he's not... particularly, he's well dressed, but he's not particularly fashion conscious or any of that. Not that those are necessarily gay traits, but for me they were. And so I went to meet him at the store, and there he was, and he didn't seem that interested in me. So I
was so nervous.
I looked around and I didn't see anything, or he didn't talk to me. So
I was
or he
busy.
Said hi, but. Oh. I said it was nice seeing him again, and oh. I was taking off, and he said, well, where are you going? And I said, oh, there's a great place down the street that makes a veggie burger that I like. And so I went down there, and towards the end of my meal, he came and sat at the table with me.
Well, after he walked in and then he left, my coworker, Mary, I said, oh, my God, this is, you know, I was just like, I was barely calm and collected when he walked in. But once he left, and Mary is still a client of ours, but I was just like, oh, my gosh, I hope he's going to be there.
Had you told Mary about this guy you met on the bus 2 weeks ago?
You know, I think I had, actually, because her and I were pretty close, and I would definitely have told her that. But then, of course, not really knowing. But he reminded me that I guess I called every salon in San Francisco.
Oh, well, no. So you can't cut forward on the story.
I'm sorry.
So he came and sat at the table, and
I thought,
well, maybe there's something going on here. So we talked, and we walked all the way back to my house, to the corner down below my house, which is, you know, about a mile and a half. And we just talked all the way. And then I said to him, well, you know, we should get together and do something sometime. And he said, oh, yeah, let's get together and do something sometime. And I went my way and he went his way. And we still didn't have each other's phone numbers. And I thought, that's so gay of us. You know? Oh, yeah, let's do dinner sometime. So I didn't think anything more of it. And a couple days later, I get this phone call at work. And I pick up the phone, and it's him. And I find out later that he actually dialed every salon in Union Square looking for me. And it was the name of the salon was Lou Gallo, so it started with an L. So he had to go through quite a few before he got to me.
Yeah, all the L's. And so I finally spoke with him, and because, again, and the same thing. I mean, I honestly didn't assume he was gay right away because my gaydar has been broken for years, but... I just didn't assume.
The platform shoes and the little metal lunchbox I was carrying didn't give it away.
There's a lot of metrosexuals out there, but yes, that little metal lunchbox should have been the clue.
So, Mick, what was going on for you to make you go through the phone book?
He was just such a nice guy, and I, you know, it's so hard to meet nice guys these days. And I had been in a long-time relationship, and it had ended, and so, you know, I was single, and so after tracing him down, just because I really wanted to find out more about him, and the rest, you know, is after that.
He's still trying to figure me out.
Well, when you called him, I mean, come on. When you called him and you finally somebody said, oh, yes, Russell Thompson does work here. Hold on. I mean, you must have just thought, ah,
yes.
Right?
No, I don't have to call any more salons is what I thought.
And so what's the first thing you said to him when he said hello? I mean...
I think I just said, hi, big boy. I don't
know. Oh.
No, again, for me, it was just, I was just so nervous because I just hadn't been dating. And so it was just really something new again. So it was really exciting. And I was just really, I was attracted to him. And he was just this really nice guy and very unlike anybody I've had known before because I would typically was dating people, you know, kind of sports and athletic and very much against my type. You know, we all have our types and Russell's not really my type until we got to know each other.
Wow, well, what's first your time type? I heard that.
Yeah, no, but you know how we always talk about the whole blonde thing, right?
Okay. That's
so you I'm have to describe how blonde. Russell doesn't fit your type to the audience who can't see Russell.
Okay, well, Russell's tall, dark, and handsome. And
oh, I love the radio.
And I would typically go for the tall, blonde, and handsome. So for me, it was, you know, it was a refreshing change. But again, the personality and the way that we just were able to just click right away, and just it was just comfortable, just made it all the more easier to get to know him.
Yeah.
You going to add something to that, Russell?
Yeah. So Russell, when you got that phone call. Uh-huh. Right?
Yes.
And they say, Russell, it's somebody named Mick on the phone. And you say, hello. Then what happened? What were you thinking? What did you feel?
Gosh, it was so long ago. But I think I was surprised, you know, and I thought I was excited. I actually at that point was not really looking at getting involved. I'd been in a relationship for about 4 years and that had ended really not well. And so I was just having a good time, and I was seeing a couple other people at the time, and so it was nice to have somebody else interested, and he was a nice guy, and it was just nice to go out on a date. But I didn't think, oh wow, this is the person I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and me either. Just I had no idea that I would ever be dating anyone who had a lunchbox like that.
Describe this lunchbox.
Oh, it's like, you know, if you ever watch Star Wars or Battlestar Galactic, they used to carry these little metal, metal aluminum lunchboxes. That's kind of like that. Very stylish.
Mm. Wow. I've heard a lot of stories. You know, we've been doing this show for about 8 years. We've heard a lot of coming out stories, a lot of how did you meet stories, but not like this. This has been very entertaining.
Yeah,
thank
we'll walk
you.
By that bus stop because, you know, Spike's Coffee and all those great shops are there, and we just will stop at the pole.
Our bus stop.
Our bus stop, and look at each other and give each other a kiss.
Aww.
So still, there seems like there's more to this story. It's like, I don't know when when you have a date that you both have the same date.
Well, he nearly burnt the house down, remember, for our first date. He wanted to cook me something.
Well, what date are you looking for?
Well, the date that labels. Oh, well, okay. Let me get clear, right? There's okay. I got it. Many dates.
Yeah, Mick is talking about their first date.
Yeah, you're talking about the first date when you say, okay, we're gonna do this dance together for the next 20 years.
You know,
like an anniversary date.
Honestly,
he understands.
I don't know if we would. I think we would probably agree on this, but I don't think he remembers this time.
Because I'm older.
We dated for about a year, and we actually split up for about a month.
I remember that.
Yeah, because you know there was some stuff going on where Mick had had a relationship before me, and I don't think he was really ready to commit to something bigger, and I wanted more. And so it was just the conversation, I want more. I'm sure we've all had that one from time to time. And he said, okay, and left. And so I thought, well. And then I didn't hear from him for a month. And so I called him and said, you know, I got a box of your stuff here. You need to come and get it. And he came in, and he walked in the door, and I looked at him, and he looked at me. And that was it. That was, you know, that was where was. The rest of it is not good for radio.
See, I knew it was something more to the story. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he lived in this like studio that's probably as big as this table, I think. And
that was the other thing. That's how we really knew.
Yeah, we knew because we decided that we would live together in this in a studio apartment, which had the most amazing view of San Francisco.
Well, because if you've lived in San Francisco, you know when you get a good apartment that you don't give it up for just anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not going to give up that amazing apartment with the cheap rent without knowing it was going to really work. So I said, well, move in here. So now, no matter, you know, you talk about working together, you know, once you've lived in like 400 square feet together, you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing because it was divided. It was like, you know, the bedroom, the dining room, the kitchen, and the was all in one. And I was actually still, my ex and I had split custody of a dog. So we had a dog in the mix as well. So But yeah, I mean, we really had to work at, again, that living situation where you're just with each other all the time. There's nowhere to hide unless you went to the bathroom. But
well, how did you, when you got on each other's nerves, which had to have happened because, you know, you're just human, how would you negotiate that? What would you do to not, you know, go crazy?
Well, I used to go running a lot. I would, you know, I was always out running. I was always training for marathons and things. But that was also a really kind of a nice way to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Yeah, it's healthy too, and I mean, it's exercise, so.
Right, and I think that it, without that outlet just of just being apart, and again, even with the salon sometimes when we'll go home separately, and he has a class he's taking now, which is great, because then I get to go and I just, you know, I'll either walk home or do something, and you have time to kind of relax.
Mm-hmm. So is the salon close to your house?
Well,
when
it's
you
a
say
short,
you walk home?
It's
or?
About a 20-minute muni ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. We live above the Castro, and the salon is in Union Square, so it's not that far.
Well, speaking of the salon, we have this beautiful Facebook page that you told us about. Can you tell people how to log? Maybe they want to log on to the Facebook page right now as we're speaking. What would they type in to Google to get there?
Well, actually, if you just go to facebook.com and then just put in Carmichael Salon, you'll come up. Actually, I know that there's three different pages because, one, we have our own product line called Two Boys and a Girl, which is Russell, myself, and Angela. And we have products specific for color-treated hair and styling products for men and women. And then you'll see the Carmichael Salon website and then an active site where a lot of just a lot more activity. And our website, too, carmichaelsalon.com, we keep up to date on that. Mm. But, yeah, on that photo that we're looking at now, which the public would see, is that's our Russell design, this color bar, which actually was made by Tony, the industrialist, right there on Castro, and he's an aluminum, a metal worker. So, see, we had it made right down the street.
Huh.
But, yeah, so it's and they actually had to lug it up. They had to carry it up the window, up the side of the building to get it in because it was so big.
Oh, wow. Yes. Well, speaking of the building, there's a little picture on the left-hand side of the building that you're in.
Yes, the Whittell Building, it's called. Built in 1906 and finished in 1907 because of the big quake. Remember, there was a big earthquake around then. The city burnt, except the Whittell Building stood.
Crazy.
And if you come and visit us, they're like birdcage elevators. So as you travel up and down, and there's 16 floors, you can actually go to the top. You see the world all around you whiz by. And it's pretty very Hitchcock, Vertigo. I know my father could never go in that elevator because he's afraid of heights.
Uh-huh.
But it's really a fun ride.
Wow, that is a gorgeous.
Up to see us.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture. Well, hey, we're going to take another music break. This time we're going to be listening to Matt Alber singing Whitney Houston's Dance with Somebody, and then we'll be back to finish up the interview.
Upon the hour, and the sun begins to fade. There's still enough time to figure out how to chase my blues away. Well, I've done all right up to now, but it's the light of day that shows me how. And when the night falls, the loneliness calls. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody. Yeah, I want to dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me. My senses spinning through the town, but sooner or later the fever ends and I wind up feeling so down. I need a man who will take a chance on a love that burns hot enough to last, 'cause when the night falls party. Yeah, I wanna dance with somebody. I'm with somebody who loves me. And oh, I wanna dance with somebody. I wanna feel the heat of somebody. Yeah, I wanna dance with somebody. I'm with somebody who loves me. Somebody who loves me, yeah. Who will hold me in his arms. I need a man who will take a chance on a love that burns hard enough to last. 'Cause when the night falls, the loneliness calls.
Welcome back to Living Proof. We're in studio with Mick and Russell and Diana and Sheridan and Greg, and loving learning about Mick and Russell's life as owners of Carmichael Salon and partners in life. And so what do you want people to know, Mick?
Well, you know, for me, I still hear so much negativity and just so much just bad mouthing about the whole, you know, being gay, being lesbian, transgender, bisexual. And a lot of people still think that it's a choice. They still think that, oh my gosh, you know, he's somebody who chose to be gay. And it's just, I love just making it into the conversation. And they'll, I don't try to be all negative. I want them to understand, but I do mention that, you know, there was no choice involved. You know, I grew up thinking I was going to get married and have kids, but, you know, boy, I finally realized that this was just something that is my life. And, you know, there are those times that I thought maybe this really is just a phase that I'm going through. I mentioned that earlier, and I realized it's not a phase. So there are probably a lot of people out there listening now who maybe don't have the comfort level we have, but know that there are people to talk to. There's radio like this. I know there's a lot of television, and it's just been really great. And I just thank God that my mom and my dad and my family and Russell and his family and even the staff here at KRCB have been really supportive of anything that we've done. It's been great. It's been a great ride.
When you say that you hear negative things from people, do you hear negative things from clients that come into your shop?
I've heard some clients say some pretty ignorant things about gays, and I just listen. You know, I don't judge. I just, because I know that it's just ignorance. They don't know. They don't know gay people like myself. They probably don't even know that I'm gay. I know that I encounter clients all the time when they realize that Russell and I are actually more than business partners. They're surprised and pleasantly surprised, which is really neat. It puts a whole new dynamic of who Russell and I are. Because really, if you came in the salon, you'd never know that, you know, we're not holding hands and we're not hugging in the back. It's just strictly business. So I know it's ignorance, and I think that people out there need to know that just people are just ignorant. They don't know gay people. They probably never met them, and yet when they do meet us and work with us, they love us.
I'm just curious, Mick, what stops you from educating them? You say the word ignorant, but why won't you educate them?
Oh, no. I'll actually give some input. I'll talk about whatever it is they've said. I'll try to correct them, and I will actually tell people, it's not a choice. I don't say, well, look at me. I talk about it not being a choice. I'll recommend, like I always recommend this movie, Here We Are.
We Were There.
I'm sorry. I recommend this film, you know, and I know that it's on YouTube and it's on online. But no, I'll definitely Wonderful. Will mm-hmm. let them know. And I've had a couple people ask if I'm gay. And I'm still not that comfortable yet.
Well, how do you answer it?
Well, I definitely will say yes. I don't lie to them. But there's been numerous times I've changed the subject gracefully. But no, I want people to know. And know, because I really feel that I'm educating them, because they too could have a family member who's having trouble coming out or being bullying. Mm-hmm. And it's all about just education for right now. And I'm, you know, we're put on earth to to show that we love each other, but also to help educate people.
I mean, I think that's great because, you know, I think sometimes people might say those things because they might want to know where you're at, mm-hmm. right? They want to know how you're going to respond to the ignorant comment, and maybe they're really not that ignorant, but they want to know, oh, I wonder if this guy is gay. How is he going to respond to something I say?
Right.
You know?
Poke the snake. Yeah.
What does that mean?
You know, just rile you up, see what mm-hmm. they can get out of you.
Right. And I've had a couple of people they've wanted to, like, fix me up with someone, like a woman.
Oh.
So I have to nip that at the bud right away.
Oh. What do you say?
Then I will say, oh, you know, I'm gay and I have a partner.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll point across the room there. Oh, see that guy there? That's my partner.
Okay. And mostly if it's word of mouth, word of mouth, people know that you're mm-hmm. together. So they so they poke in the, what you call it, Russell?
Poking the snake.
Well, what about you, Russell? What is it that you'd like people to know?
Well, I think on the other side of what Mick was saying, we've been very fortunate that we do have so many wonderful supporting people in our lives and so many of our clients and you know we say clients but some of our clients are more than just clients. Some of my clients have been with me over 20 years and we've been there for weddings and funerals, and so you know they're always very respectful of those sort of things and making sure they invite us both and put us at the table with all the other cool people and you know all that stuff. But I think for me, you know, coming out, I didn't know what that was going to mean for me as far as having a relationship, and things have changed somewhat, but it depends on where you are that we get this perspective or when we're told we're going to end up being lonely and alone. And you know, there are so many types of relationships that young men and women, gay, lesbian, transgender people can have. Of course, the whole gay marriage issue of being married, being a committed couple to each other. And we have lots of friends now that are having children and very involved in raising their children and their children's lives. And so there are a lot of different types of relationships that you can have or not. And that's the other end of it, is sometimes it's just not for everybody. So being single is okay, too. We're not saying that it's the only way to go. Mm-hmm.
We were just lucky to have met each other at that bus stop, and here we are 20 years later.
Yes, and quite a story. So could you give the website address again?
Oh, yes. It's very simple. It's just carmichaelsalon.com. And even if you go to yelp.com, just put in best hair color or put in Russell's name or my name, and Carmichael Salon and Color Bar will pop up. So Yelp, we have a lot of great reviews. There's a video that we're needing to update. And even if you just Google hair color San Francisco, we usually are right there in the top selections. But, yeah, great, fun website. And if you're ever in Union Square right next to Bulgari, Jimmy Choo just opened up next to us, just pop up and say hello. We're on the fifth floor.
Mm. Could you spell Carmichael real quick for
yes.
folks that might not know?
C-A-R. MICHAEL salon.com.
And so you have your own website, you're on Facebook, on
Yelp.
Wow. WordPress. It's just, you know, with the PR and social media, Russell's becoming the king of uh-huh. all of that. So it's been really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to have to close our show and we have a couple more minutes. Do you?
It's so wonderful to just have you both here.
Well, thank you. And just, you know, and so, again, thanking both of you as well and thanking KRCB. Again, our families. I can't even thank my mom and dad enough and my brothers and sisters and Russell's family and his brothers and sisters and all of our clients who are not only our family and friends as well. Just, you know, we just keep meeting more and more people through work, through KRCB. Just, and again, Russell talks to everybody on the Muni, so he meets everybody.
Wow, it sounds like you won the Oscar.
Well, hey, I kind of did.
And here's the music. Meaning, you know.
Oh, yeah, we got to close it down.
Yeah, we got to close it down. So real quick. So advice to couples who want to go into business together and who live together. I think it's extremely interesting that you do this. And so if someone were to come to you and ask you, you know, what words of advice could you give me in less than a minute about living together with my partner and doing business, you know, 24/7, what would you say?
Well, I think gay or straight, it's the same situation. I think really there's just got to be a lot of communication. And really sometimes you have to be, you know, not as concerned about each other's feelings, but really sometimes you just got to put it out there, you know, throw it out in the pile and work through it, because it's just day to day. There's stuff that comes up that if you don't work together, you can get past, you know, you can sort of avoid, or it will work itself out. But when it's 24/7, you got to really communicate.
You have to learn, you have to know when to say no and when to say, you know, I'm sorry, honey. You know, we can't, let's talk about this later. We just can't talk about this right now. And, you know, we do have to say that quite often, and it's a comforting thing, because we're going to talk about it later. He'll either text me or email me or write it down. But for that very moment, let's not talk about this, please. So I know with my advice, just again, living and again, also interests, you know, make sure that you do include your friends in your life and do other things. And if you need to go out and take a half a day on your own, just, you know, honey, you know, I'll see you later.
And have fun. And
yes.
The most important is have a cleaning person.
Oh, that's right. Most important, have a cleaning person.
Have a housekeeper.
Have a housekeeper.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for bringing it up. I thought about that earlier. I mean, that's so important because you guys are gone so often.
Yeah. He comes in once a week. He's a great guy. And again, for you gay couples out there, even if it's once a month.
You never have the argument about who's going to clean the toilet.
Oh, on that note, we must say goodbye to these wonderful, wonderful guests, Russell Thompson and Mick Aguilar. Thank you so much for being on our show tonight. And thank you very much for listening to our show. And we want you to know that Dr. Diana and me, Sheridan Gold, we are signing off for now. Remember that people like Russell and Mick are living proof that our community is strong and vibrant and beautiful. And so are you out there. So we'll see you next month on Outbeat Radio, Living Proof. Until then, good night.
You can learn more about Outbeat Radio and listen to past shows on our website at www.outbeatradio.com. Be sure to join us next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. right here on KRCB Radio. Still so many answers. You're listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa, on the air at 91.1 and 90.9 FM. You'll find us streaming online at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. New Dimensions is next.
So do it today, yeah, 'cause I can see you there.